Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to speak about something really important: how to own your own life. In case you didn't know it, approximately 80% of the people here in the U.S. do not like their jobs. Their jobs own them. And for that reason, many of them are miserable. Some of them have gone to drinking a lot on the weekends and at nights after work. Others have turned to other forms of drugs. Others have turned to gambling. Others to womanizing. You name it. Whatever it takes to not think about the day-to-day life of being a robot, quote-unquote, is what many people have turned to. Of course, there are the many masses who go home to eat junk food in front of their TVs watching, well, the brainless garbage that is on TV today, and entering their sense of self and self-esteem as they do so, because a lot of the stuff that is put on TV is very negative in content, not just the news, but the sitcoms are now very sarcastic in their nature and really have no true messages or reason for being, as far as I'm concerned. Reality TV I won't even touch, because most of that is just a bunch of unreality TV. And that's enough on TV. Anyway, my point is that you can certainly own your life if you decide to choose to. I was greatly blessed because my father had decided at the age of 5 in 1928 that he wanted to become a dentist. He came from a very poor family. His dad had died when he was about 12 years old, and he was shining shoes at that age to help his mother to make the bills for the two of them plus his two older sisters. Poverty did not stop him from making his goal. He worked diligently, even with the era of World War II taking him over to India and other such places in Asia, which he never, ever spoke about. He managed to get himself through college for free at City College in New York, and then went on to Tufts Dental School, starting his practice shortly after he graduated. Working by his side, I learned what owning your own life is about, because he was able to choose who he was going to work with, meaning his patients, who his vendors were going to be, and really the colleagues that he wanted to hang out with on a day-to-day basis, and of course his assistant. And each one of his daughters, myself included, got to work by his side. It was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, because I learned from him that one needs to find their passion and purpose in life. And the way that one does that truly is by getting really quiet and recognizing your skills, talents, and education for what they are and what your interests are, and wrapping that all up in such a way as you can create an income for yourself. Self-employment is not the easiest route to go these days. However, it's still a better route for me than working for employers I don't respect or don't believe in or don't share values with, given the way of corporate America these days especially, as told by my clients, who are rather dismayed by what has happened over the last 20 to 30 years in the workplace. So, how does one go about owning your own life? Well, you can do it in an employee-type situation, so long as you choose a position in a company whose values you share, and with bosses who see you as the asset you are to their company, and they are willing to invest in you and grow you and mentor you, or have someone in the organization mentor you, so that you can become the best that you can become and go as far up the corporate ladder as you so desire. It's not an easy thing to do today, but I was just talking to one of my clients actually less than a week ago. And she is ready for a move from where she's working currently because her boss really doesn't know how to prioritize things, and she's putting in 12-hour days, and it's totally ridiculous and creating problems for her. So what she decided to do was to go online and Google different types of jobs that might be interesting to her in companies that are blessed by their employees, where there's work-life balance. This is very, very important if you're going to work for somebody else. One cannot put your entire life into a job. You have family, you have friends, and you have yourself to think about. And there needs to be time for all of those things, because without your own self-care, you really can't do a whole lot, and you're going to end up burning out, getting sick, hurting yourself, or ending up depressed. None of which are positive for either you or the company for whom you work. Now, there are some important ideas that I would like to share with you from some of my research on this. There are four different kinds of people in the world. There are students who generally have time and no money, unless of course they're working their way through school, in which case they don't have any time and they probably don't have enough money. Have money and no time. Most people who are working shifts fit into this category. Have money, but have no time. And these are the high-level workers who are putting in 80 to 100 hours a week. You know, the attorneys, the tax pros, C-level corporate people who travel a lot. And those who have both money and time. And those are the people who are financially free. And by and large, the people who are financially free are going to be business owners, usually with multiple streams of income coming in. Because as we know, business goes in cycles, so when one is down, you want another one to be up, and this is the way that works. Reading is so important on so many levels. You want to read for inspiration, you want to read about how people have gotten the things accomplished that they have, and the challenges that they've had to overcome along the way. Because we all have challenges, and it's really a matter of how we perceive those challenges. Some people think that they're huge problems that can't be overcome, and other people, hopefully my clients by now, have learned that there's really no such thing as a true problem. What there really are, shall we say, issues that need to be resolved. Calling them issues and talking about resolution is a lot more positive than thinking about problems. You also want to read books that have to do with spirituality. And I'm not talking about religiosity per se. I'm talking about spirituality and getting in touch with your higher self, what Carl Jung would call the collective unconscious, which is really your connection to all that is, all that ever was, and all that will ever be, including your own creativity and insights. Then there's this whole concept of sacrifice. My father taught me through a letter he wrote in return for my thank you letter to him, thanking him for spending a lot of money on sending me to college when I barely made it through high school. And I actually did do very well in college. But I sent this letter 2 to 3 weeks into my first semester, freshman year. So we didn't know how it was going to turn out then. And he wrote me back. And he wrote me back the most loving letter, which I still have to this day. And basically he was talking about doing things in the order in which they need to be done to have a successful life. So he was speaking about education is first, and until your education is completed, you really can't get into a really strong relationship with somebody and get married because you need to have the knowledge that you can take care of yourself, especially if you're the man in the relationship, because men are supposed to be the providers, societally speaking anyway. Then, when you find the right partner, you get married, and only then, when you know that your partnership is healthy, whole, and complete, that you have the finances to actually raise a child, which is very expensive today. I don't know what it costs today, probably $300,000 to $400,000, because several years ago it was $200,000, not including college, by the way. Then you may have children, so long as both partners agree to having those children, because it is a daily activity of selflessness, not selfishness. No child is going to be able to fulfill what you want them to fulfill if you have an empty heart and an empty soul. It is an impossibility. It is your job as the parent to be present with your kid, for your kid, and do for your kid. Otherwise, don't have any kids. My father's best advice. Now, the other thing is that one needs to have a purpose in life. Purpose just means that there is something bigger and more important than you and your family. I cannot tell you how many times I go to seminars, networking events, where they're talking about mission and purpose, and so many people in the room say that my passion and purpose is to leave a legacy for my children. That is not a passion. It is not a purpose. That is just you taking care of your kids and probably leaving them more money than they know how to handle, because until unless you earn your own money, the studies demonstrate that kids have no idea, and even adults who win the lotteries have no idea in how to take care of it, how to employ it, how to invest it, because they just have no respect for it. It's just the way it is. A passion or a purpose really has to do with getting yourself aligned with something that is bigger than you. Some cause that really matters to you. Something that really makes your heart sing, and something that you would really do your best work for, and in some cases even die for. In my case, it's really about healing our youth. They are in really big trouble right now. They are so overstimulated all over the place. The pressures on them are beyond what they can handle. Their food is crap based on what's happening in the commercialization of our food industry being grown on farms. Most of the nutrients are taken out and chemicals are put back in, and it's full of sugars, high fructose corn syrup, which is horrible for the body. It doesn't know how to process it. And many other chemicals for artificial flavoring, coloring, and all the rest of it. I have been on that bandwagon many times on this podcast, so I'm not going to go there anymore, but you get what I mean here. We need to be willing to do what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy and whole. And that means eating the appropriate foods in the right portions, stopping eating when we're satiated, drinking plenty of water to keep ourselves hydrated, because many times we think that we're hungry when we're actually thirsty. And by the way, if you're not drinking enough water, you're going to maybe become depressed. It is just one of the side effects of being dehydrated. So water is very important. And by the way, caffeine and soda and juice do not qualify as good drinks. Juices are full of sugar, and many of them have all kinds of false stuff inside them, including artificial colors and flavors. And soda, well, all the tablespoons of sugar that's in that stuff, and if it's diet soda, it's even worse for you, because our body really doesn't know how to process that crap. It actually should never have been put on the market, these artificial sugars, all of them, as far as I can tell from the research I've read through the years. Feed your body appropriately. Treat your body at least as well as you're treating your car. I'm sure that if you have a car that requires premium gasoline and needs an oil change every 3,000 miles or 7,500 miles, that you make sure that that happens, especially for those of you who are really into cars. Your body really needs you to care about it, or it's not going to be able to do what it needs and wants to do for you. Sleep. We need to get enough sleep. 7 to 8 hours a night, 8 to 9 is better. Really kind of depends on your own needs. However, we know that the REM sleep, which is the deepest sleep, only happens if you sleep for a certain amount of time, and those cycles happen every so often. I forget how often, but they say that you need to be asleep for 7 to 8 hours so you get enough REM sleep so that you're rested when you wake up in the morning. Again, all research-based. We need to have activity. The research is out now that sitting is probably one of the worst ways that we can position our bodies, and unfortunately we spend way too much time sitting on our butts in front of TVs, in front of computers, on iPads, you name it. We found a way to be really lazy, and our bodies hate it. If you're having aches and pains, my first suggestion is for you to get up, get outside, get some fresh air, and walk around your block. If your weather is not that great, go find a mall or someplace to go walk, because we need to get up and move. In fact, the research says for every hour, we should be up walking around after 50 minutes. So that's 5-0. And then walking for 10 minutes and then going back to work for 50. It will re-engage your brain in a better fashion and it's certainly going to do your body a whole lot of good. Relationships. I've talked about this so many times on this podcast, but one can never overdo it when it comes to relationships. There are way too many people out there, and I'm sure that you know many of your friends, who complain about their friends, or shall we say, so-called friends, because they are depressed, or they're always asking for favors, or they're always complaining about something, or they're always sick, or they're just these really down, psychic vampire-type people. If you have people like that in your life, the best suggestion you can give them is to get themselves some mental health help. Because they're not happy, something's not going right, they need to create better boundaries for themselves and not allow their own boundaries to be overdrawn, but they don't even understand what that means, because if they did, it wouldn't happen. Same is true for you. If you have psychic vampires and people who are sucking your energy out of you, you need to release them from your life, or at least spend a lot less time interacting with them. Because, seriously, we only have one life. And what you want to have in your life are relationships that add to your life. People who you feel good being around. People who have great ideas and are doing things that are interesting and experiential and that can share these things with you and maybe do these things with you. Those are the kind of friends that you want to have. And the same thing with your colleagues. You know, you want to surround yourself with people who are doing a bit better than you, because you're going to be raised on their coattails. So this is the way that you can own your own life and have a happy life. Because frankly, life is really too short to be complaining, being bitter about a job you don't like, or surrounded by people who drag you down. And as I've said many times on this podcast, I don't care if these people who are psychic vampires are your family or not. If you need to dump them because they're toxic to you, dump them. You don't owe anybody anything more than what they give to you. End of story. Spend your time with the people who love you for exactly who you are, who respect you for who you are, and want to be there for you because they love and care about you for who you are. And you need to do the same for the people who truly care and are there for you in the ways that they can be there for you, so long as there is a reciprocal relationship going there between you and your friend. Thanks for listening, and have yourself a wonderful week. Until next time. If you have found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars, as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes, so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.